All right. Well, my name is Paris Yano, and the class today is starting a foster care ministry. I had to say that for the recording. But it's so good to have everybody here today. And before we get started, I just want to open in prayer, and then I want to share some resources that are on the back for you guys to check out after the class, okay? So, Father God, I just thank you for our time here together today. I pray, Lord, that you would just use me as your vessel, and Lord, that you would just help us, God, to know where you're leading and guiding and directing us in this area of foster care ministry. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I do have some resources on the back table that I encourage you guys to take advantage of. And one of them is a card, and it is for Social Worker Month. It's Social Worker Appreciation Month in March. And this has a QR code on it that has a toolkit for ideas, and it has a video, things that your church can do during the month of March for Social Worker Appreciation Month. They say that social workers, like a child going into care, into the foster care system, if they have the same social worker, caseworker with them throughout their time in care, they're four times more likely to receive permanency. That means they're four times more likely to be adopted or be reunified with their family. But if that changes, the percentage goes down to like 17%. So it's so important that we keep good social workers. And you know, that is a very trying job. I mean, they have an emotional drain on them every day, listening to tough stories and tough situations and being involved and having to make tough choices for kids. So I encourage us, let's bless our social workers. All right. And then the next thing back there is a card. We're having a Great Lakes Foster Care Conference. And this is it's going to be Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan, and it's actually in Indiana. And it's not just for foster families, but it's for pastors, it's for leaders of foster care ministries, anybody who's interested in getting involved in foster care ministry. This would be a great conference to go to. And it's not too far. It's in Indiana, so it's just right over the border. And then, let's see, I'm going to hold off on these. And then I have some booklets back there that are free. And these are just great booklets. They were developed by an occupational therapist, occupational therapy students. And there's just like helpful guide for new moms. And it's just bonding with your baby. Here's one about resources to promote development in foster care youth. And then there's one, interactive projects, helpful guide for parents with children ages 1 to 5. And then there's this one, self-regulation, sensory issues, kids that deal with sensory issues. Here's some great things. Here's one, social-emotional learning building for kids. And then the last one is the interact... It's a project for building life skills. It's for like teenagers and kids aging out of foster care. So if you're working with anybody in those areas, or, you know, there's a few books back there that you can have. It's free. You're welcome to take them. All right. So let's get into what we're going to talk about today, starting a foster care ministry. And if you would, if you'd like to be on the Father's Heart mailing list to receive more resources and like information about events and stuff, you can do that scan and then fill out the information, and I will add you to the list, and then you'll get resources and just information about events coming up and different things. So, but I wanted to introduce you. This is my family. So I have six wonderful children, and two grandbabies there. That is just like the cherry on top of the sundae. And I have two more grandbabies on the way. So this is my family. And as you can see, they all don't look like me. So three of my kids are married. And so I have, well, actually, four of my kids. Wait, how many kids are married? Yeah, four of my kids are married. So let's see if I don't have it. But anyhow, so we adopted three of our children out of the foster care system. And it has been a joy. So this has been a passion of mine for ever since I was young. And I'm just privileged to be able to be the director of Father's Heart, where I can just live out this passion. And Father's Heart, you may not know what it is, but Father's Heart helps churches to mobilize and equip them to care for vulnerable children and families. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like. But today, three questions I want to answer in this session is, why do we engage in foster care ministry? The why. Why should we do this? And then next, what is a foster care ministry? I have 111, I just realized. Yeah, they're all important, right? And what is foster care ministry? And then, how can you utilize ministries you already have in your church for foster care ministry? So, and by the way, the notes are on SCED, so you can pull them up, and there's more detailed notes on SCED that that you can access. So, but I know I'm like some of you. I like to write the notes out, it helps me stay engaged. But so we're going to answer those questions. So the first is why. Why do we get involved in this? The why is the gospel is our why. The gospel is our why. So we see that we have been adopted by Christ. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. So we have been adopted by God. When we ask God to come, Jesus to come into our life, he adopts us into his family. We are his children. And I love this verse in Ephesians. It says, Ephesians 5:1-5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we have been adopted into the family of God. You know, when we adopted our three children, they had full access to us at any time, just like we have access to our Heavenly Father. And when they became a Yano, my three kids became a Yano, they took on the Yano responsibilities of being a Yano, and they took on the blessings of being a Yano. So someday when I die, they will get my inheritance. They will be a part of that because they are a part of my family. And praise God. God has adopted us into his family. We get to share in his inheritance. We get full access to him, and we have responsibilities with that as well. And then the second reason why is the incarnation. Jesus cared for us, right? We see John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." It's so awesome. It amazes me how God sent his Son Jesus to come to this broken world. He left his heavenly throne and came into our brokenness, so that we could have access to the Father, right? And so I think if Jesus himself could come into this world, into our brokenness, how much more is he calling us to go into broken situations and to help those who are in a mess, right? Jesus took on our mess. And so as followers of Christ, it's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are as children of God to go into other people's messes and to bring hope and healing to them. Let's see. Three things the incarnation does. It compels us. So just like I said, we are compelled because we are children of God and we have received the grace of God and Him coming into our brokenness. We are compelled. The next thing the incarnation does, it sustains us. I tell you what, when you step into brokenness, when you step into foster care ministry, there will be plenty of times where you'll be like, this is too hard, I want to quit. When you experience other people's brokenness, it's tough, it's hard, and there's going to be times where it's like, is this really worth it, you know? But it's the gospel that sustains us. That's what can help keep us going because we know that God is the answer, right? And He stepped into our mess. And then the third, the gospel is put on display. I tell you what, when you see a life transformed that comes from a life of brokenness and is totally transformed, it puts the gospel on display. Just like my one son, Jay, that we adopted, he was 17 when we adopted him. And he was like being kicked out of school all the time for fighting. And, you know, teachers did not like him. He had come from a life of extreme abuse. And so he had a lot of issues, you know, he had a lot of anger. But I tell you what, he is the greatest joy to our family. He came into our family and just embracing him and him having permanency, a place to belong, people to love him, not just my family, but he had a whole church family that loved him. And to see this young man go from being so angry and broken and stuff to being on the honor roll at school and never getting kicked out, being a star athlete and people loving him, and now, you know, graduating from college, which he thought he would never be able to do because, like, when he came into our home, he had a grade point average of, like, 0.5, you know? Just to see him thrive and graduate from college and now working and in a career. I mean, his social worker, when she sees him, she just starts bawling and she says, it's nothing but a miracle. It's nothing but a miracle. It puts the gospel on display. When you see somebody who looks like the world has cast them aside, like they're hopeless, and God transforms their life, it puts the gospel on display, which is so awesome. So what is foster care ministry? So I'd like to get some of your input. What do you think foster care ministry is? Anybody have an idea? I know some of you know, and don't say it. Okay. Well, anybody want to give it? I mean, it's like we're going to go over it, so it's okay. But foster care ministry, I'd like to put it like this. There were these three friends walking beside this raging river. And all of a sudden they looked in and they saw these kids being swept downstream in this river. And so the one friend says, well, I'm going to run upstream and I'm going to start pulling kids out of the river. The next friend says, well, I'm going to just start snatching them out right here. And the third friend says, well, I'm going to run downstream and I'm going to rescue them before they hit the waterfall. This is what foster care ministry is. There's over 15,000 kids in this river of foster care right here in Ohio. So foster care ministry, number one, is bringing awareness. A lot of times the church, we just don't know. We don't know the need that's out there. There is a huge need out there. With these 15,000 kids in our foster care system, there's only about 7,000 licensed foster care homes. there is a huge need, right? So we want to bring awareness, not only awareness to the need, but we also want to bring awareness to what we can do as a church. A lot of times when people say foster care ministry, they think, oh, I can't foster, so that counts me out. Well, it's more than being just a foster parent. There's a whole lot more you can do. Like I say, every single person can do something. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion is this, right? To care for the orphans and the widows and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You may say, well, we don't really have orphans. Well, the kids in our foster care, they are the American orphans. These are kids who don't have a family who can take care of them. They are America's orphans. And so we know the Word of God says it's our responsibility to care for them. So we bring awareness. The next area is prevention. We want to prevent kids from falling into this river of foster care, right? So, like, what can a church do in the area of prevention? Does anybody have an idea? Mary, would you like to share? How can a church prevent kids from falling into the river of foster care?
A church can join Care Portal.
I need the good. I'm sorry, I forgot about this.
A church can join Care Portal, which helps meet the needs of families before kids go into foster care, which is a lot more than that, but that's part of the prevention.
Yes. So, right. So there's lots of families that are just fragile and they don't have a support system around them. So if the church could be that support for these families, strengthen these families, then we could keep families together and kids would not end up in foster care a lot of times. So we have things like a big problem. One of the things for kids entering foster care is the opioid crisis. Like, kids are coming into the system because of parents having a drug addictions. So the more churches we have doing like celebrate recoveries and helping families overcome these addictions, that is a huge win, right? Another thing, like Mary said, a lot of times it's a poverty issue. It is a poverty issue where kids just need to, they're being neglected because of a lack in that home. You know, a family may end up homeless because a mom loses her job because she doesn't have transportation to go to. I mean, it just goes on and on. So if we can circle these families, but how do we know what the needs are? The needs are all around us, but how do we get connected to those needs as a church? And Mary mentioned it. We have a great tool called Care Portal. Care Portal is a tool where teachers, social workers, those working in professionals working with children, when they see a need, they can put this need into the portal system. It could be this child needs a bed. Right? And then the churches that are signed up with Care Portal will see that need and say, oh, we could provide a bed for a kid, right? It's so simple. And the nice thing is the caseworker gives the church the family's information, and the church is the one to respond to the family and set up a time to drop it off and be the point of contact at that family. So not only do you deliver a bed, but it's a great opportunity to build a relationship. We have seen, it doesn't always happen, but we have seen just by delivering a bed, having a connection there, building a relationship with that family, that now this family has started going to church or started going to a Celebrate Recovery group at the church. And then coming to know the Lord and God just totally restoring that family and that family being discipled and in the church. So it's a great tool. It's a great tool for prevention. There's another tool we have. It's a training on how to mentor like a family that's fragile, how to put healthy families in their life and do role modeling kind of things with them. We have a training on that, on how to surround families. It takes a little bit more intentionality and a little bit more work to do that, but we do have that available as well. So that's a way, and Father's Heart has these resources for people. But another area of foster care ministry is intervention. Intervention is raising up foster families. We need more foster families. We need good foster family homes for these kids to go to. But not only that, no foster family should do it alone. If you have foster families in your church, they should not be doing it alone. When I was a foster parent back then, I used to think, well, I signed up for this, so it's my problem, right? But that was wrong thinking. It was wrong thinking. It's the church's responsibility and the church's problem. There's no foster family that should go it alone. So churches, even though not everybody should foster or adopt, and not everybody can foster or adopt, we can all do something. So another part of intervention is putting a support system around these families. So if you can't foster or adopt, or God's not calling you to do that, perhaps you could make a meal for the family. You know, you could make a meal for the family. It's huge. I remember when I was fostering, if my church didn't step up and do some of the things they did, there's no way we could have done it. There's no way. I mean, we were pastoring. I was running a nonprofit, so I was working full time and had six kids, you know. There's no way we could have done that. But thank God I had people in my church that naturally saw, like, you've had a stressful week. Let me make you a meal so you don't have to worry about coming home and doing that night. You can spend time with the kids who are going through a hard time. Or I had people that were there to babysit for us. There's no way. Like, we needed a break sometimes. You know, when you're dealing with kids who have been through trauma and, you know, you have a child who's trying to commit suicide and you're, you know, dealing with that, like, you need a break, you know, an emotional break sometimes, you and your husband. And so thank God I had people that I could call on, say, could you just come over and babysit? You know, could you watch the kids? And they were approved and everything. And even we were provided, people in our church did respite for us. Like, we were able to get away, like, for a week, you know, and just say, we need a break, you know. But they were willing to take our kids for a week, which was huge. So that intervention piece is really important, to have surround care for families that are doing it. They say that 50% of families will drop out within the first year of fostering because it is so difficult. But 90% will stay fostering if they have a good support system around them. So Father's Heart, we teach churches, we have a best practice model on how to do this, how to surround the family with care. We have an online training. It's really good. So that's intervention. And then we have transition. That's kids aging out of the foster care system. So kids that age out of the foster care system are so, the percentage rate of them being homeless, in prison, and involved in sex trafficking is huge. So we want to help these kids that are aging out. We want to give them life coaches. We just want to connect with them. The best way to do this is to connect with them before, way before they age out as a teenager, to build that relationship. Because these kids, you can imagine, after being through trauma and stuff, it's hard for them to trust. But if you can start building a relationship with them when they're 14, perhaps by the time they're 18, they have that connection, they'll trust you enough, and that you can help navigate them through adulthood. I know for myself, my kids, when they went into adulthood, were ready to graduate, go to college, or whatever path they took, They still needed me in their life. They were making major decisions. They needed my husband and I to help guide them a little bit. Not that we're over them, like telling them what to do, but just give them some guidance. Well, every child needs that at that age. You know, they're young adults, but they need that. So it's transitioning. I just learned of like two churches that are just doing this. They're knocking it out of the park. One Chad Gilligan's church, but anyhow, they have a foster. They went to their foster care agency. The foster care agency. This is one of our greatest needs: is mentors for kids aging out of foster care. So that church started a mentoring program for these kids, and so now they do things like. They'll meet with the kids, and these are kids from, like, their group homes and stuff. But they're building a relationship with them. They're teaching them how to change oil in a car. They're teaching them how to budget, to go grocery shopping, how to cook a meal, just simple things that these kids have not typically been in a healthy family, and they don't know a lot of these simple skills that you have to know, right? So this church has adopted, you know, these kids kind of and just providing mentoring for them. We have another church that started a nonprofit called Moab, and they have a home for kids aging out of the foster care system. And so now they have house parents there. They have mentoring programs for them and just helping them get on their feet. As they leave the foster care system. Because could you imagine like being taken care of, you know, and then all of a sudden, okay, you know, you're 18 or you've graduated, you're free to go, and like being out there. It's scary, you know? So these are all areas that churches can be involved in foster care ministry. So oh, Lord. Okay, let this video work. I wanted to show you this this video. Yes, I think I did it. Yes.
Meet Tiana and Jared. In the past 2 years, these siblings have experienced trauma from bouncing around three foster homes, being separated into two different foster families, and attending three different schools. They are about to reunite with mom, but money is short, and her stress level is high. She has no family or friends nearby to help out with childcare or lend a listening ear. With mom under such pressure and no strong support network in place, it is likely that Tiana and Jared will end up back in foster care again very soon. Unfortunately, for many families, this can be a repeated cycle. However, with the support of a local church, this family's plight could look very different. Imagine if, before Tiana and Jared ever entered foster care, volunteers from a local church helped provide mom's first month's rent, bunk beds, and a team to support this newly single mom, offering much-needed prayer, a listening ear, and practical support like meals and mentoring. Unfortunately, Mom didn't have a support network to fall back on in these new trying circumstances and couldn't secure an apartment. Mom was unable to meet Tiana and Jared's most basic needs, so the state intervened, and Tiana and Jared were temporarily placed in foster care while Mom worked to become more stable. During their time in care, Tiana and Jared lived in multiple homes. Unfortunately, 50% of foster families quit within their first year, often due to feeling isolated. What if a local church had come alongside the first foster family that received Tiana and Jared with a team of motivated and supportive volunteers? When churches wrap foster families with practical and spiritual support, 90% will continue fostering, creating more stability for children in care like Tiana and Jared. Even as mom becomes ready to reunify with her precious children, it's important to remember her situation is still vulnerable. This provides another opportunity for a local church to come alongside this family with the wraparound and relational support of prayer, meals, and mentoring. There are hundreds of thousands of kids and families in similar situations around the country. More importantly, there are children and families in crisis in your own backyard, in your zip code, who need your church's support. The number of children and families in need is staggering, but you can start with just one. Serving just one child or family can have an eternal impact, breaking generational cycles and creating a ripple effect of change. No matter how you choose to engage, you will need a champion to lead the way. That champion might be you. It's even better when churches identify several people to lead together as a team. You will also need support from church leadership to launch your service efforts. Church buy-in is essential to success. While we don't recommend that a pastor lead the effort, the pastor does have a unique role in sharing, encouraging, and praying. We call church-owned ministries that serve vulnerable children and families, FAMs, Family Advocacy Ministries. FAMs come in all sizes and are developed at all types of Christian churches. You match your FAM to what best suits your church's identity and mission. We recommend your church keep it simple by choosing one area of focus and serving with excellence. The best part? Your church is not in this alone. You will be equipped with the videos, resources, guidance, and ministry software necessary to serve with excellence. FAMs offer a great opportunity for church members to meet local, practical needs, living out discipleship as the hands and feet of Jesus. Every church can play a part in serving vulnerable children in your community. What role will you and your church play?
Yeah. So we see different... Different things the church can do. So back here, back in the back, I have these cards. And this just is different ways that churches can get involved. And by the way, we do have a FAM. It's Family Advocacy Ministry. That's what FAM stands for. We do have a FAM training that churches can go through. And after you complete the FAM training, you can sign a church a partnership agreement with Father's Heart. And we do have a portal through Promise Serves, who we partner with, a portal that you have access to videos. You have access to training videos for volunteers. You have access to like sample emails to send out, forms to have that you need, just everything like that you would need is all in this portal, which is really, really cool. So we have that available. If you go to the Father's Heart website, fathersheartohio.com, you can see attend a training, and all the information's right there. And I have cards in the back. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do. But anyhow, yeah, you got it. fathersheartohio.com. So here we have these cards. So first, there's the category of crawling. It's just bringing awareness about the needs of children and families and providing tangible services like a bed or clothes or, things like that, a car seat. Walk, the walk level is you help with supportive services like mentoring, parenting classes, babysitting, transportation, prayer support. So this is like a walk level for a church. And then the run is you recruit foster families and adoptive families or respite care families. So really with the crawl, there's not much that's required of volunteers. You might want to do a training and stuff. But the walk level, there might be a little bit more required. You know, to babysit, you'll probably have to get fingerprinted. There's different requirements. The run level is like real dedication because you're going to have to go through like foster care licensing classes and things like that. So those are the different levels. And then here's some examples of things in those areas. There's the area of prevention, which we talked about. And it's just like, tangible needs. And the walk level, help a biological family with supportive services, mentoring, parenting. So you can see there's all different things. And what I tell churches is just pick like one square on this card. You can just pick one square and start there. You can't do everything. You know, there's just, it's impossible to do everything, but you can do one thing. And then perhaps maybe you're already doing like providing tangible needs. You know, maybe you're already involved in the foster care gift card project of giving teenagers a gift card for $50, you know, at Christmas time. Maybe you're already involved in that. Well, then what's the next step your church can take? You know, maybe you can do one more thing the next year. So it, you have to pray and you have to see what, God, what do you want us to do? But so how can you use what you already have in your church? So let me hear from you. What are some ministries your church already has? Now, come on. I know your church has ministries. Yeah. What do you have, Dana?
We have a prison ministry. We have children's ministry, like 0 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
We need teens.
Mm-hmm.
And we already use Care Portal, so we're already doing the crawl.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Of this, so it's like, what is next for us?
I think
we need to take family advocacy training and see.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you said you have like prison ministry. So you think like, okay, you're already involved in that. Like maybe you can connect with the families or the kids of these prisoners. You don't know. Or children's ministry. Like how many of your churches have children's ministry? Okay. Just about everybody has a children's ministry. Well, I had somebody call me and say, hey, we really want to get our kids involved in this in some way during Easter. You know, we'd like to do something. So this church, now they're involving their children's ministry, having the kids bring something for a child going into foster care. And so they give them ideas like stuffed animals, like special toothbrushes, you know, toothpaste, because a lot of times these kids coming into care just don't have anything. You know, they have like the clothes on their back. Sometimes they just have a few things. The foster families need to get all this stuff. So their children's ministry, the way they're involving that is they're having their kids bring stuff and they're putting together little packets to give to their children's services for kids coming into care. That's a way you can involve your kids' ministry. And one thing I forgot to mention is a lot of times churches, we look at our ministries in silos. Like here's women's ministry, here's kids' ministry, here's men's ministry, here's youth ministry, and they kind of stay in their lane. They kind of stay in their silo. But what I'd like to suggest is caring for the vulnerable, caring for vulnerable kids should be like this line. It should be a culture of our churches. It should be a movement in our churches where it shouldn't just be this silo of foster care ministry. It should flow in every single area of our church. And how do we develop a culture like that? Does anybody have an idea? Well, you
involving it in everything.
Yeah.
And involving the other ministries in.
Yeah, right. And it you create a culture by the stories you tell, you know, and what you celebrate. So you start celebrating things like, look at our children are caring for vulnerable kids by collecting these items. Let's celebrate this, you know. Our church is doing a night to shine and caring for this vulnerable population of special needs kids and families. You know, that's something to celebrate. That's going to change a culture in your church. You know, we celebrate our foster families during May because it's Foster Parent Appreciation Month. We celebrate our foster families. So anyhow, we don't want to look at ministries as silos. So the question is how to start something new, okay? First of all, like the video said, you need a champion. You need somebody who's going to be the champion and lead this, right? So you have to have that person. And like the video said, it's not the pastor. Pastors have way too much on their plates, right? So the champion should not be the pastor, but the pastor should be the cheerleader. It should be the person. So you have to talk to your pastor to get his endorsement. Say, you know, pastor, are you in with this? The pastor has to be on board to start this. And then the pastor, like I said, his role is to cheerlead it. It's to share from the pulpit. It's to pray for this ministry, to encourage them, and just to endorse it. And then you have to decide where your church wants to focus. Like I said, we already have some ministries going on in the church, right? So, you know what? Let me get to my notes. So, some great questions to ask are, let me get there. Decide where your church wants to focus. So look at your church. What does your church do well? Do they do small groups well? Do they do care ministry well? Do they have a great intercessory prayer team? A benevolence ministry? What does your church do well? Okay, that's one thing to ask. And then also, what do people show up for in your church? Do they show up for projects, one-time projects? Do they show up for intercessory prayer nights? What does your church show up for? And are they great at making financial contributions? You know, is this a strength of your church? Do they love to gather for events? You know, do they like serving at events? Does your church already have a vulnerable population in it? Do you already have foster kids? Do you already have families with special needs? Do you already have one of these vulnerable populations that you can be supporting? So these are some good questions to ask yourself to know where to start. Okay? So if you have a great intercessory prayer team, well, just that champion could go to that intercessory prayer team and say, hey, every time you meet, could you pray for these foster families that are in our church? Or could you pray for foster kids in our community? Oh, in the back, we have a booklet there. I have a prayer guide for foster care ministry. So it goes through how you can pray for social workers, how you can pray for the government, like people that are making decisions about these kids' futures. There's prayer on foster families. There's, you know, there's, so in that prayer guide, there's all kinds of ways. You can give that to your intercessory prayer team and say, every time you meet, could you cover one of these issues? I tell you what, even today, I am so blessed because my church family, Metro, to this very day, their intercessory prayer team is still praying for my kids and my family. To this day, like they never missed. They even would come to my house and say, we're going to pray over your house because you're going through it right now. You're facing a lot of trauma here, you know? And I needed that. I needed that prayer support. So that is so important. You know, if you have a good men's ministry, I just talked to a church this past week where they have a men's ministry, and part of their men's ministry they have is a small group of handymen. And so they're involved in a good night's sleep, I think it's called, or there's a bed brigade ministry, but I think this one was called good night's sleep. And they're involved in making beds for kids. You know, like, so that's a great ministry for the men's ministry if you guys get together and do that. Women's ministry, you know, someone was just sharing, Tanya was just sharing with me how their women's ministry is making Easter baskets for all the kids in their foster care system, you know, and they're going to share them, you know. So there's great ideas for every ministry to be involved. But you want to look at your church, maybe talk to your pastor, say, where are we strong? And like, look at this card and say, okay, this is where we need to start. You know, this is what our church does well right now. Then in the back, I also have this sheet here, and it talks about different months of the year and ideas for every month. So we know like April is child abuse month. And so, you know, what can you do there? May, foster care appreciation month. You know, November is adoption appreciation or like adoption month. So there's different ways that your church can get involved, and that's in the back there too. So you have to decide what area your church wants to focus on. And then the best thing to do is once you have that in place, you want to plan an awareness event. So this is something where an awareness event is at where you want a lot of people to come to it. And it's like you're throwing out a big net, okay? And you're going to catch some people's interest, okay? And so awareness events can be a Stand Sunday. So Stand Sunday is, it's a worldwide day. It's Orphan Sunday overseas. They call it Orphan Sundays. Here in the United States, it's called Stand Sunday. It's the second Sunday in October, but you can do it any day. So a Stand Sunday is a day where you bring awareness to the crisis. And then that's a great day to say, but this is what our church is going to do. And you present that. You could have a sermon around orphan care that day, foster care ministry that day. You can pray for foster families that day and stuff. But it's a day where you present, hey, it's on a Sunday morning. This is what our church is going to do. We're going to start using Care Portal. And if you're interested, you can go to the table in the back and sign up, you know. And you want to have a next steps at your awareness event. So the next step would be we're going to have an interest meeting. You could have a QR code up there saying, hey, if you're interested in this, sign up, because we're going to have an interest meeting we want to invite you to for anybody interested in this. So it's like you're casting out a big net. Along with Stand Sunday, you could do things like a family movie night, where you invite families to come to a family movie night. And then you share, hey, this is what our church wants to do to keep families together or to strengthen families or to minister to foster families. And you share your next step, what the church wants to do. So that's a big net you throw out. There's just all kinds of things that you can do to throw that net out. And so you want to have an awareness event. Well, after the awareness event, you want to have an interest meeting with those who are interested in being a part of this. And that's where, at the interest meeting, that's where you go over the details of what you're doing. You want to share stories. You want to share stories about maybe somebody else who has done this and just a testimony that has come out of it. Share stories about this. You want to introduce maybe who the champion in your church is. And let me tell you, it's good to have not just one person, but two or more people leading this. You know, it's always good to have more than one, because I can't tell you the number of times like a church had one champion to lead this, but they didn't build a team, or they just were by themselves. And when they left that church, the ministry, like, you know, didn't carry on. So it's so important to have two people at least, or a team of people that could help lead this. So you want to introduce your team, the people that are going to lead this. And then you want to cast vision. You know, this is what we're doing, and not only what we're doing, but why we're doing this. Why are we doing this? You want to cast the vision of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're going to do it. So you want to have a plan in place. And then after that, you want to develop a team. So to develop a team, you want to have some trainings for your volunteers and that. And like I said, if you go through the FAM training, the family advocacy training, they have volunteer videos and different resources that you can use. If you're not sure how, like what training they need or how, contact me. I'd be glad to come and help train your team. I'd be glad to come to your church and come alongside you and help you to develop this. Please call me. So you want to develop a team. You know, if you're trying to raise up foster families and if you have people who are interested in being foster parents, then you start to, okay, you need to start going through the process of becoming licensed as foster parents, you know. So you want to start those processes. And it sometimes, depending on what ministry you want to go into, it might take a little longer than others. But, and then last but not least, you want to launch and manage the ministry. So you want to launch the ministry saying, okay, we're going to start it on this date. And then you want to keep revisiting because, you know, whenever you time you start something new, you might have to tweak things. You might have to say, oops, I thought that was going to work, but it's not quite working the way we thought, you know, so you have to just pivot a little bit. So you want to manage it. You want to continue meeting with your team and encouraging them and building that up. But one thing that one thing that I didn't mention that's helpful is churches. A lot of churches have small groups, and small groups are a great way to do some of these things. That's another way we can weave through every ministry. But I know churches that use their small groups to meet the care portal needs. So, like some churches, like this smaller church in Cincinnati, this is crazy. But the champion asked their small groups leaders, hey, would you guys consider meeting one request a year from Care Portal? Like that is so doable, right? One request a year from Care Portal. She challenged them. Well, you know what? They not only met one request that year, each of them, and they only, I forget how many they had, but it wasn't a big church, so it wasn't like they had tons of small groups. But I think that small church met like over 1,000 requests that year, because once they started meeting the requests and meeting those families, it was like, it got their heart, and they were like, we can do more than one request a year. I mean, and they like started meeting all these requests. So a lot of times using those small groups is a great way, or using a small group, say, hey, do you think you could just circle this foster family with care? You know, could you just take them in and circle them with care? Could your small group just adopt this foster family? That's a great way to use small groups. And I just think, you know, it's God's heart. It is God's heart, right? And so I think when we throw the big net out there, there's going to be people that respond. There are going to be people that may not have responded to anything else. I remember I went to a church one time and spoke and kind of thrown out that big net. And a lady in the church came to the pastor afterwards and said, I want to start a respite night for foster families. And that's like once a month. Not just foster families, but kinship care families also, because that was a great need in their community. And by the way, I should say, this is just as much we should take care of foster families. We should be taking care of kinship care families. And if you don't know what that is, that's like grandmas and grandpas raising their grandkids. That's aunts and uncles that have taken these kids in. They are probably even more in need than foster families because they don't get the financial support that foster families get. So we have to surround these families. So anyhow, they started a respite night. She went to the pastor and was like, could I start a respite night for kinship care families and foster families? And the pastor came to me later and was like, this lady, I like barely knew she existed. She never volunteered to do anything. She would show up on Sundays and that was about it. But this was her heart. And so I think sometimes when we throw that big net out there, you might have people popping up to be a part of this that you never expected, you know, which is so awesome. So we want to throw it out there. And one thing I wanted to show you was this video. And I'm glad it didn't start yet, because this video, this movie is coming out July 4th. And this would be a great awareness event. This would be a great big opportunity to throw out your net to people. But it's called Possum Trot. And it is about a small church, tiny church in Texas that had 50 people in it that the pastor and his wife heard from God that they were supposed to take in foster kids. And so they were at an age in their life where they were like empty, getting ready to be empty nesters. And they were, but God spoke to their hearts. So they said, okay. So they got into this and they were like, wow, the church needs to be involved in this. They challenged their small church of 50 people, right? This small church ended up adopting 77 kids out of the foster care system. And these were some of the toughest kids in their community. And they had so many foster homes from that small church that they did not have a need anymore for foster homes in their community. And so Angel Studios is putting out this movie. I don't know if you saw the movie Sound of Freedom, but they're using it as it was about sex trafficking and stuff. This is like a follow-up movie to that they're putting out. And it's going to come out July 4th. But we're really encouraging churches to buy out theaters, sell tickets, and encourage people to come. And then not only that, at the end of the movie, we want to have next steps. We want to have ways, tangible ways, churches can get involved in this and individuals can get involved in this. Because not everybody can foster, but everyone can do something. And so we want to have representatives from Children's Services there talking to families about how they can become foster families. We want Care Portal there to say, hey, representative from Care Portal to say, hey, how can we meet tangible needs of vulnerable families to keep kids out of the system? We want somebody there to talk about how to surround families with care. And so we're going to put together, Father's Heart is going to have a toolkit where churches can have those resources available to use. But I just believe that this could really, really, really make a huge impact on the foster care system in Ohio if we lean into this moment. I just think it's a great thing. So I wanted to show you this trailer of this movie. And then we got to have time to answer questions.
The film is about a small community in East Texas where a small church felt called by God to start caring for vulnerable children.
Just ordinary people looking outside of themselves, seeing the need of mankind and meeting the need.
We want the ones that don't nobody else want.
And they ended up adopting 77 of some of the most difficult to place children in the Texas child welfare system.
22 families want to adopt. The whole town wants to get
out. Half of our church
got involved in the adoption process.
Yeah.
They had no clue.
It wouldn't be the church adopting that, it'd be an individual family.
Yeah, I had to remove the kids because, well, it's our job to keep them safe. She gave me these.
And so what's going on in the nation right now is over 400,000 kids are in the foster system, over 100,000 are waiting to be adopted. While we have over 400,000 local churches on every street corner sitting there lifting up the name of Jesus while this is happening under our nose.
But if we can't wrap our arms around the most vulnerable amongst us, then what do we have? Noise! Noise! And the children can't take the noise anymore.
And how do we as a community, not only the church, but how do we rally everyone to step in for kids because they are the future. For us to be able to see this come to fruition, this movie of their story, and what it can compel other churches and other families to step forward and do the same with this one little community can do. Imagine if all the churches around the world did the same. Would there be any kids in the foster care system, let alone available for adoption, if the church raised families?
Now I know what can happen. It's just not okay. And I feel like we need to show that. And I feel like we need to make it known that this is what's happening and we need to make it stop.
I just pray that something in this movie make your heart jump and you want to go out and be involved in the foster care crisis, because people like you are people who change the world. And if you feel that tugging at your heart, don't ignore it. Go after it and do something.
I think the ultimate thing that I take from this is you're never so small that you can't make a difference. Like, it's just extraordinary to me what we can do if we decide we're gonna make things better.
I never seen you so scared. Is he speaking to you? Is he speaking?
Yeah, so every time I see that, it's like, oh, I know every time I'm like, Lord, help me not cry. But yeah, so this would be a great way for churches to throw out that big net and like get involved. And even if you can't buy out a theater or anything, when it becomes available to show, like on streaming, yeah, you could have a movie night at your church and invite people to come for a movie night. This would be a great time for your church, you know, to throw out that big net.